There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Also, Flag Day, June 14th. Also, birthday time for the U.S. Army. What, 243? Y'all don't look over 231. I mean, you're really looking good. And if you couldn't even get more patriotic, you got Flag Day going on. You also have the congressional baseball game going on in Washington, D.C. If I could only get some apple pie at the concession stand, that would be about perfect. Speaking of which, AL5's Congressman Mo Brooks, who has been on the phone with us many times talking about that baseball game, and thank goodness we're talking about it in a positive light, as we were last year, but the practice not, with the shooting that had broken out a year ago. At the practice field for the Republicans and the aftermath of that. Now here we are, a year departed, and I think the mood has got to be so much better. Congressman Brooks, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
My pleasure, Sean. It's always good to be able to speak with the Mobile Bay Area.
Well, it's eyes on Washington now for more than one reason. Usually it's what y'all are doing on Capitol Hill, but now and tonight it's what y'all are doing on the baseball diamond.
It's going to be Republicans versus Democrats, as you would expect. It's a charitable ball game. Last year, we had about 25,000 people attend the game at the Washington Nationals Major League Baseball Stadium, and we raised $1.8 million for charities, principally for kids in the Washington, D.C. area, but also for law enforcement.
And, you know, last year, coming off the attempted killing spree there at the practice field, it had it was a positive event when the game was played, but it had that pall over it for what y'all had just endured out there on the practice field. I mean, that was obviously foremost in your mind, I imagine, when you took to the baseball field.
Well, the Republicans were emotionally racked. It was a Wednesday, if my memory serves me correctly, that the attack occurred on the baseball field, and then Thursday night we were playing a game. The FBI had impounded as evidence a good bit of our equipment. By way of example, the bat that I use, that I personally own. I did not get that back from the FBI until after the game was over. I didn't get my glove back until just moments before the game started. And so you had a lot of different things going on. And in fairness to the Democrats, they were extraordinarily nice to us up until the first pitch. And with the first pitch, they took it to us.
Well, okay, hopefully this year, I don't know how y'all did in the recruiting ranks there. It's all about recruiting, Congressman. It's all about recruiting. I don't know, have you recruited up some extra talent there for the Republicans?
Well, I think actually we've lost some talent. Maybe it's because of the shooting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because people have other goals. But our first baseman who had the game-winning hit 2 years ago, Tom Rooney from Florida, he didn't go out for the team this year. Ron DeSantis at third base, pretty good third baseman. He's running for governor of the state of Florida, and he's not practicing with the team this year. Steve Scalise, who was our starting second baseman, of course, he'll be starting today as a method of honoring mm-hmm. him, but he's not up to the capabilities or speed that he had before he had the rather severe injuries to his abdominal area and left hip. So we've lost some pretty good players. About two-thirds of our starting lineup won't be in Congress this time next year. So it's not just them not going out for the baseball team. It's also a significant number of them leaving office.
Maybe, hopefully, in the midterms, you'll recruit some talent into the ranks.
I hope so. We have a pretty good football player coming out of Ohio State. We tried to get Tim Tebow to run last election cycle, but he still had dreams of playing professional baseball, and of course he does announcing on television on occasion.
Congressman Brooks, let's talk about, you mentioned, I want to talk about you, I want to talk also about Steve Scalise. People, I mean, if they kept up with it, they maybe realized the different surgeries and the things he went through. But how is he now when you see him there in Washington? How does he get around? Does he get around okay? What's the situation?
Well, you've got two aspects to it. One is mental and the other is physical. On a mental level, Steve Scalise is extraordinarily upbeat. Very positive go-getter, and he's putting this behind him as best he can. It's been quite a struggle for him, but he's a tough individual, and he's been able to overcome it. The strides that he has made over the past year with the severity of his injuries and his mobility, it's been a remarkable improvement from a year ago to today, and if he can continue to improve at that rate, then in a year or two, he ought to be in excellent physical shape.
How about you? Because we followed this back in December, talking about your fight against prostate cancer.
Well, I'm not sure if your listeners are aware, but in December I had prostate cancer surgery where they removed the prostate gland. And as an aside, I encourage everybody who's at that age to have the PSA test. And if you have a spike, have a biopsy just to see what's going on and if it's cancer or something else that is causing the PSA spike. I did have the spike, did have the biopsy, had what's called high-risk cancer, an 8 on a 10-point scale. It's called a Gleason scale, and 8 is the very beginning of the high-risk category, and made the decision to have prostate cancer surgery to remove the prostate gland. That was in December. It slowed me down quite a bit, quite frankly, because for about 4 or 5 weeks, you're supposed to be relatively inactive, with the exception of maybe walking, but nothing strenuous. And I'm trying to recover a muscle mass that I lost from that. But as far as the cancer goes, I had an excellent doctor in Scott Tully out of Birmingham at St. Vincent's Hospital. And every subsequent test has indicated that the cancer was confined to the prostate gland. And that's the real key. That's why you want to have these tests, because if you catch it early, your chances of survival are excellent. On the other hand, if it's expanded beyond the abdominal area, to other parts of your body, you have something like a 27-28% chance of being alive after 5 years.
Wow.
So I'm hopeful that we caught it early enough, and with the removal and all the subsequent tests have revealed no spread of the cancer, that was all good news.
It is great news, and obviously you're doing well enough. You're playing ball tonight. What position are you playing, Congressman?
I'm going to be at first base, which is kind of odd. I've played a lot of different positions throughout my lifetime. I grew up playing baseball. I was all-city at Grissom High School in Huntsville, Alabama, as an outfielder. And I've played every position except for first base in my lifetime. And so here I am. I'm going to be first base, Washington National Stadium, about 7:30 tonight.
Yeah, all eyes on first base for sure. Let's quickly, before we run out of time, I know you got lots of stuff going on, but I've been wanting to get your reaction, because I always have great conversations, fiscal conservative conversations with you. And looking where we are now, you and I talked about it after the GOP tax reform, and looking at the economy now, moving enough that, you know, policy here with the Fed to raise interest rates to slow it down some. What's your take from Washington? What have you seen? What do you think is coming next?
Well, I'm going to break it into two parts. The depressing part is our deficit and debt. We have blown through the $21 trillion mark. We keep getting reports from the Congressional Budget Office, the Government Accountability Office, the Comptroller General's Office, different types of verbiage from Mick Mulvaney, who's the Director of Office of Management and Budget, that we're in a real tough situation long-term with our deficit and debt. Depending on how optimistic you are about the economy and us doing the right thing in Washington, you're looking at about $1 trillion a year deficit beginning in a year or two, indefinitely, until we have a national insolvency and bankruptcy, which, of course, would be horrific. And I cannot emphasize the word horrific enough. It'd be extraordinarily bad. I encourage people to look at Venezuela, look at Greece, where their unemployment rate typically is in the 20% range. They've defaulted a number of times, but they've been lucky in that they have the European community bailing them out. So that's the depressing side of the equation. The uplifting side of the equation is that it looks like our economy is moving in the right direction. We still don't have the GDP growth that we would hope for. We've seen lots of really good projections, but in reality, we've yet to break through 3% GDP growth per year. If we can get the economy in the 3 to 4, maybe 4 to 5% GDP per year growth rate, that would be excellent, and that would help with revenues. But quite frankly, the problem is not the lack of revenue growth in Washington. It is the unwillingness of so many congressmen who claim that they're financially responsible, their unwillingness to restrain spending. And, you know, we can have all the revenue growth in the world, but if we continue to expand spending at a faster rate, then we become less and less solvent, and we're at the mercy of our creditors.
Yeah, the hard thing about that, Congressman, and we've lined up on this a lot, but from an idealistic tact, but on pragmatic, short-term pragmatic, you look at your area, AL5, and you know, federal money in there and the importance of that. Also here in AL1, that's the same thing. Government contracts, NASA contracts, these are big things. This is money that's spent right here at home.
Those are big things, and here's the problem that we're at, okay? Assume for the moment that our creditors were to say tomorrow that they're not going to loan us more money, not claim back the money they've already loaned us, but just, we're not going to loan you any more money beginning tomorrow. That means that we've got about an $800 billion shortfall. And the way our payment structures are set up, the Constitution requires us to pay our creditors first, okay? So whatever revenue we have goes to those creditors. Then second, we have to pay the entitlement programs, the welfare programs, because those are statutory in nature, and the Democrats won't let us change those. So all those things have to be paid second. Third, then, is a lot of the things that the public thinks that the federal government should be doing as a first priority, national defense. So we spent about $1.3 trillion this upcoming year on all the different alphabet soup of agencies, national defense, NSA, CIA, FBI, you name it, okay? But if that is where all of the spending cuts have to come, if our creditors were to cut us off tomorrow, that roughly translates into a 60% cut in national defense spending overnight. That would have a horrific effect on national security and on economies who are dependent on providing national security for the United States of America. And that would be across the board. If we were to prorate it like you do with the state of Alabama, the only place we can prorate under current law, now we could try to change the law if the Democrats would let us, I'm all for it. But if we can't change the law, it's basically a 60% across the board cuts to the FBI, the Department of Justice, Department of Defense, NASA, National Security, you know, just go all the way through it. And that is the problem with us racking up these huge deficits and debts. We're living on borrowed money.
Wow. And that's, and it's probably not very popular, your opinion there, in the halls of Congress, is it?
No. There are only probably 10 or 20% of the senators and congressmen who both understand the deficit and debt threat and have the backbone to do something about it. We've got lots of people who understand it, but they keep pushing it past the next election, let some future Congress and president deal with it. They may have that understanding, but they don't have the backbone. They may have the backbone, but they don't have the understanding. Only about 10 or 20% have both the understanding of the threat and the backbone. And to emphasize it, Sean, just for a moment as to how serious this is, when asked what is the greatest national security threat facing the United States of America, Barack Obama's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, testified before the House Armed Services Committee that it's our deficit in debt. It wasn't Al-Qaeda. It wasn't the Taliban. It wasn't Iran, Russia, China, North Korea. It was our deficit in debt because of how much damage it can do to national defense, which weakens us and makes us at risk of military conflict in the world that otherwise we could avoid. And to follow that up with President Trump, his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, his Secretary of Defense, Mattis, have both echoed what then-chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, testified to the United States House of Representatives. That's how big of a threat it is in the minds of our military leaders.
Well, let that sink in, y'all. Congressman Brooks, about to have to wrap up here, head to the break. I know you've got to go, but I want to ask you once again, tonight, the first base, you'll be able to see him at first base, Congressman Mo Brooks from AL5, and the charity tonight, I saw a handful of charities, but the congressional baseball game would be giving money to the people that were so pivotal on that day a year and change ago, right? The U.S. Capitol Police Force?
Well, I'm not sure how it's supposed to be split up this year, but last year there were about five charities.
Right.
One was for wounded law enforcement officers. It may have been limited to Capitol Police, but it may have been expanded beyond that. And then there were four other charities, all of which were to help kids in the Washington, D.C. area.
That's fantastic. Great work. Best of luck tonight. Listen, I mean, they could have you outpaced in talent tonight. That doesn't mean that y'all can't win. I've seen those movies before, Congressman. You know?
Hey, Auburn beat Alabama last year, even though we were national champs, so it can happen.
There you go, Congressman Mo Brooks.
I just got all the Auburn folks upset with me, but maybe not. We'll see.
That's right. Well, best of luck tonight, and we sure appreciate talking to you, as always.
All right. Take care, Sean. Right. Have a good one.
You too. Congressman Mo Brooks checking in right here from Washington as he gets ready to suit up and hit the first base line tonight. It'll be cool to watch that game tonight. All right. Coming back, more of Midday Mobile. Hey, by the way, George Talbot with City of Mobile joins us here in the second half of the hour. We're going to talk about this debate that's been going on for a couple weeks, at least, it seems like, around city council meetings. Public Works wanting to talk to the mayor, but it's not actual employees, it's people representing them. We'll get into the details with George coming up in a little bit. Also, take your calls, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you to Congressman Mo Brooks. Always good to talk to and watch him tonight as a congressional baseball game gets kicked off. I think 7 hour time. And Dalton, you can cross check me on that. I think 7 hour time. By the way, too, thank you. Jason heads up on the traffic. He said eastbound traffic to the Wallace Tunnel backed up to Broad Street. So there at where South Broad Street. So that is because I saw something about 15 minutes earlier that said traffic was slowing, minor slowdowns. Once it gets back to Broad Street, I count that maybe not major. It's not like a Michigan, but I mean, that's a pretty significant slowdown. So y'all be ready for that heading eastbound on I-10. Of course, that would transition back into our conversation this morning about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, which I now have, it looks like, Congressman Byrne, who had some comments on that, is going to talk with us at length tomorrow on Midday Mobile. So we'll talk to him tomorrow on the show about that. And so if you got questions specifically, because this is coming off of that story I think Fox 10 had where we're going to miss we missed a $250 million grant. We'll get into that in depth with Congressman Byrne tomorrow. Oh, and speaking of roadways, yikes. This is right here. This is right here in the backyard of the radio station. ALDOT says they're going to begin a maintenance project to replace a portion of the bridge deck on Airport Boulevard where it crosses 65. This is going to start on the 22nd of the month. From ALDOT, they said, expect major delays. Yikes. Drivers encouraged to seek alternate routes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is... Hey, any of y'all on the east side of 65 that I normally see, or I won't be seeing y'all for a while. The project scope includes repairing the concrete bridge deck in the westbound outside lane on Airport. Motorists can expect a single and double lane closure westbound along Airport near the area of I-65 while the work commences. In addition, the southbound on-ramp to I-65 is going to be closed during this period of work. So once again, southbound on-ramp. You hear that, Dalton? Yeah, we take that a bunch. Coming out of here with the station vehicle or whatever, that's going to be closed as well. They'll have a detour implemented during construction. They said they're going to do it around the clock here, and they hopefully will have it done in 10 days, starting June 22nd. All right, so we'll keep our eyes on this. Literally keep our eyes on it because it's right here next to the radio station. Heads up, too, another great event tonight, Cottage Hill Package. Another great Thursday night. Tonight, The folks from Big Beach Brewers will be there with four Alabama Gulf Coast brewed beers for us to taste. Their 100 Days IPA, their Ron's Real Cream Ale, Dixie's Heart Irish Red Ale, Small Town Brown Ale. And as always, you get your free beer tasting cups. You get those at 6. Plus, you often get swag from the brewers while you're there, and it's your chance to check out some new brews, maybe something you have never had, find a new favorite. And yeah, lucky for you, you can do some shopping while you're there, with Father's Day coming up this weekend, of course, or Father's Hour, or whatever us dads are getting. With that coming up on Sunday, if your dad is a fan of craft beer or a certain spirit or a wine, or if he's a cigar fan, huge humidor, great selection of cigars, big enough that the Manis boys have their own tobacconist, Billy, who will walk you through the humidor and point you at some great cigars, make great, great gifts. Cottage Hill and Hillcrest at the corner there. CottageHillPackage.com online, Facebook, Cottage Hill Package. But best yet, just come out tonight and check it out. Big Beach Brewers, the featured craft beer, and a great time to shop for dad. That's happening tonight starting at 6 o'clock at Cottage Hill Package. All right, coming right back, George Talbot joins us. He's a communications director with the City of Mobile. Lots to talk about with him right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Remember, the Summer Better Than Others contest is going on now. Today's and on through next week, place to register the Carrot Patch in the Pinebrook Shopping Center. More details of the whole contest, the big giveaway, on our Facebook page and website. All right, mentioned this earlier, too. Chance to talk to George Talbot, Director of Communications and External Affairs with the City of Mobile. And a lot to talk about here with George. Thanks for making some time for us.
Anytime.
All right, when we get into, I'm trying to understand a story that I've been watching, I guess, a majority of time this week, although I know it's been a couple weeks in the making, and I just want to understand it a little bit better. I think we all do out there. This became a story Tuesday at City Council meeting, and I guess the week before, that the Public Works Division with the city is asking for asking for what, and are they asking for a meeting with the mayor? Can you flesh this out for us?
Sure. It's a little indirect in that for the past several weeks, there's a small group that's been coming to city council meetings, and I'd say lobbying the city council, advocating for pay increases for the employees in the Public Works Department at the city. And as they have, in their conversations with the city council, have said that they've asked repeatedly to meet with the mayor and have been denied. So what's going on there is, to date, no city employees have ask for a meeting with the mayor. The mayor meets with employees every day and keeps a busy schedule, but is never going to deny a meeting with an employee. These folks are not employees of the city. Some are retired city employees. Others are coming in from outside the community. And under the law, we do not engage in collective bargaining. They identify themselves as representing a union organization, and we just don't do that, which we've said to them. And then secondly, we're not going to talk about personnel matters, pay, benefits, that kind of thing, with non-city employees. And so you kind of have a third party that's kind of injected themselves into this, and that's what you're seeing play out in the council meetings.
Okay, so I mean, so the policy, the standing policy is that whether they are, legitimate in representing a group or not, that's not who the city meets with. You meet with the individual employees.
Correct. That was the subject Tuesday, whether or not they actually are a union or not.
But that's just semantic, right? I mean,
it doesn't matter if they're a union. The policy is, and it's really under the law. we don't engage in collective bargaining. That's just the way it is. So whether they officially claim to be a union or not is sort of irrelevant. But mayor's happy to meet with employees. It's just a little interesting that as this conversation is kind of unfolded, we're not hearing from the employees. We're hearing from some outside groups.
Okay, and I want to talk about a couple things I've heard. And once again, I got to go through line by line and see who I've heard it from. When I see these pressers, am I hearing it from an actual employee or somebody that is wanting to represent employees? That their issue is, they listed a whole bunch of things, but it's probably going to come down to money, right? Is that what you're hearing, that they want more money?
And you know, as it relates to that, so we're here to do a job, which is to serve the citizens, all of us. And part of the administration's job is to do that in the most efficient way possible. That is, we got to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollar. Certainly, we understand employees, you know, would like to be paid more. There's nothing at all wrong with that. And certainly employees deserve to have good working conditions. That's important that we establish that. And then as an administration, we've really put an emphasis on making sure our employees have the tools and the training and whatever resources they need to do their job. We've worked hard at that and created those resources. When it comes to the pay, though, you know, we try to look at how we compare to other cities. There's a lot of talk about how police and fire got raises, mm-hmm. but Public Works hasn't. And when we looked at that, compared to our peer cities, we were losing lots of police and firemen to surrounding communities and because they were paying better. In fact, at Mobile Police Department, there were headlines about this, was not only one of the lowest in the state, but one of the lowest in the country. And we needed to fix that, or we weren't going to be able to hire and attract good police officers. With Public Works, we have done an analysis there and looked at how we compared our peer cities. I'd be happy to provide that to you if you're mm-hmm. interested in it. Looked at comparable wages in you know, cities like Montgomery and Birmingham and Huntsville, and even at other public entities like Maws around here. And what the data showed is that we compare very favorably. We're essentially at our peer level there, and so that's where that is. Doesn't mean can't have a conversation about it and look at it, because at the end of the day, we've got the collection of garbage and trash, and the function of that public is a key. It's a foundational job of city government.
Oh, come on, George! Is the first George is the first thing when it goes on. That's the first thing people think about with city government, right? I mean, collection of trash. That is, I've been doing this all these years, and people, if there's a holiday or whatever, the first thing they want to know is, are they picking up trash? Picking up garbage. I mean,
no question. the foremost responsibility you have in government is the safety of the citizens. So, you know, police and fire are certainly there. When it comes to how you interact with government, Public Works is where you have the most interact, because of what you're saying right there. That's a big part of the service we deliver.
Yeah, it rings, I'm sure, your phones down there with the city of Mobile quite a bit. All right, I want to, some of the things, just want to make sure we touch on these. There have been some of these pressers, allegations of intimidation. So let me, you know, I think Mr. Smith had said there's a presumed culture of intimidation. Number one, I'm going to ask you, is that so? And you know, I've known each other a long time. And then I want to ask you a follow-up question to that if somebody comes to the mayor to sit in and meet with the city to talk about a salary or their desire to make more money, will they be fired?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I listen to what they're saying. We certainly are going to be respectful of if they want to raise these concerns, and if there's evidence of intimidation or retaliation, we want to know about that. That is not at all consistent with the values we have as an administration, and certainly not the kind of values the mayor has as the leader of this organization called the City of Mobile. Absolutely not. Employees come and meet all the time to talk about all manner of issues, and wide open. There should be no fear of of retaliation, there should be no fear of intimidation. And I respect that you know, these gentlemen want to say things like that, but that's really just not the case. And there's no reason any employee should ever hesitate about speaking to their supervisor or on up the chain all the way up to the mayor.
That's good to hear. And that's why we have to ask these questions, make sure we get both sides. I was talking with George Talbot, Director of Communications for the City of Mobile. All right, on a different front here, but one for the city, this is something that has driven a lot of phone calls this week, a lot of text here at FM Talk 106.5, and that has been a discussion of what happens with Hank Aaron's home and Bay Bear Stadium. And then in addition to that, a discussion, I saw a John Sharp story where he was talking about some of those questions, but he was talking with you, and you also talked about some possible statuary going up here in town to honor our Hall of Famers, which, you know, Mobile, what, third in the most populous with Hall of Famers in the nation?
Yep, actually, per capita, we're more Hall of Famers per capita than any city in America. Great baseball tradition in Mobile. Hank Aaron is a national treasure, and just could not be prouder to claim him as a Mobilian. And so the idea about the statues, I can't claim credit for that. Actually started a long time ago, really. It was my former boss at the Press Register, Mike Marshall, who I first remember kind of putting that out there. He had an idea of putting up statues along the Water Street corridor, and that you could even, at that time, ThyssenKrupp was pretty new. They were making this great stainless steel, and that you could perhaps work a partnership and create great stainless steel statues of our Hall of Famers. I just think it's a good idea. It hadn't really gotten any much farther beyond just talking about it, but we certainly can do a better job of telling that story. And yeah, and I think we're wide open. If there are good ideas out there or people in the community that want to work with us on that, I think it would be a great thing. It's just you could not have a better ambassador for Mobile out there in the world than Hank, and really all those guys, and some of our current players. Jake Peavy has got such a great sense of that history and such pride in it, and so it's an opportunity, and maybe we'll get there.
But, you know, I think about things like how things came together with Mardi Gras Park, as we, you know, point out the things that make Mobile, things that make us unique among all those other cities in the country, except for just very few with the Mardi Gras thing. So this, you know, more Hall of Famers per capita than any other place in the United States, and it seems like, yeah, that's something that if we can point it out for Mardi Gras, I think that is worth pointing out as well. If we can do this, and number one, just for local pride, but I got to imagine somebody who's a real dyed-in-the-wool baseball fan who's coming down I-10 may come on and visit that. Go see the statues, or go to some kind of you know, spot where they can get their picture made, see it all.
Couldn't agree more, and of course, baseball is what we're talking about, but we might say we're kind of the city of champions, because we've got great NFL players from here. Mm-hmm. We've got a NBA players. DeMarcus Cousins is one of the biggest stars in the NBA right now from in this community. And the great thing is, so many of those guys stay so connected back to the city and want to help promote Mobile, want to help reinvest in the community. It's a special thing. There's just something here in Mobile. I don't know if it's in the water, but there's so many great athletes that have come out of this city, and finding a way to really bring that out, I think, is a fun thing to think about.
All right. Well, as we talk about that, any plans there? Anything that you can tell us with when the Bay Bears do leave and Hank Aaron Stadium is not occupied by a minor league team? Any plan to actually move the home, childhood home of Hank Aaron, to something else or bring things there? I mean, what's going on right now?
Well, the home itself, the Hank Aaron home, is owned by the city. It was moved out to the stadium as, you know, a place to give it some mm-hmm. prominence. It will not move with the team. All right, we're not gonna let it
right.
And we own it, and we're gonna keep it here. And if there isn't you know, an active, if the stadium isn't seeing a lot of activity, we would, I think we'd be wise to try to get it in a more prominent location. You know, one idea that's come about is there's a great African-American Heritage Trail, Dora Finley African-American Heritage Trail downtown that helps tell that story, maybe getting it along that route to help keep it, you know, in front of the visitors that are coming to learn about Mobile would be an idea. Get it just somewhere where we can appropriately honor Hank and what he means to this community, and we will certainly make sure that whatever happens, if anything, we're only going to try to bring out more of his story and tell it in a better way. The team, of course, it's in the news. You know, that's a little out of our control. It's privately owned. The Huntsville Madison Stadium looks like it's off and going, and so we're trying to work on alternatives there. There are only so many of these affiliated teams. They, you know, Major League Baseball, there's a limited number, and we are, I would say, encouraged that we're getting a lot of interest from developers and others who are coming to us with some ideas about what we can do once the Bay Bears are gone. And we've got a little time here, but we're focused on that, and I think there's some good ideas coming forward.
Okay, so there is discussion. I mean, there are things happening, because I mean, Lord knows there's discussion on this radio station about it a whole bunch. But there are people that are coming to the city with ideas, like real things, not just hey, we ought to, you know, go down there and have a good time.
I mean, and one thing, and I'd be interested. I mean, it's really, what are we as a community? Do we want this? And I think there's a very real opportunity for non-affiliated baseball. That is, there are some different independent leagues out there that we're hearing from and looking at. And I think, you know, we all like the idea of affiliated baseball, and that's the goal, to try and keep that here. But in the interim, or as a fallback, that's a very real possibility. Would people support that? I think that's an open question. Be interested to hear what your listeners think about that. Does it have to be MLB affiliated? Would you support professional baseball that's independent? Anyway,
those are good questions, and believe me, we'll have opinions around here. George, as always, I appreciate you making time for us, and we're going to talk about this again going forward.
Sure thing.
All right, George Talbot, Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile, right here on Midday Mobile. We can get some calls on that. We'll come back for a quick segment here, and if you want to chime in, you know, to answer George's question there, does it have to be a Major League affiliated program? All right, 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Welcome back. We'll grab some calls here before the top of the hour news. All right, look, old friend calling in, Mr. Happy, checking in. Hey, Mr. Happy.
Yes. How's it going,
Brian? It's so good to talk to you, man. Too long. Yeah, so what's up? What sparks this treat today?
Well, I was listening to the communications director, and maybe to answer your question, yeah, we need a major league team here. I mean, affiliated with a major league team here. Why get a Cracker Jack team here, or some team that has no affiliation with Major League Baseball, since we were the topic of Hank Aaron?
Yeah.
The other thing is, if we can't, why about how about making it an amphitheater? I mean, something similar to the Wharf over here on the Mobile side.
Do you think we have enough shows to spread between Civic Center, Sanger Theater, an amphitheater? I mean, yeah, I'm asking this not rhetorically. It's just, I wonder. I don't know if there are enough shows coming through town.
Now, I'm not into promoting, or I don't have no expert of how, but I think if, you know, once again, if, you know, there's a venue here, and people, I mean, we have venues or artists coming on both sides, from Mississippi to Pensacola to New Orleans. I don't see why not, on their way through here, they can stop you. I mean, you can ask the promoters, who are, I guess, subject matter experts on this, but I think, or you tear it down or build a stadium near the bay. I mean, something similar to Pensacola or something. But the infrastructure is here for the stadium or whatever we have, arts or
sure.
or amphitheater. But I really hope it develops into something. And I also say, you know, it doesn't have to be double-A baseball. It can be, you know, just single-A baseball affiliated with a minor league team here. But, I mean, it's just something to think about. But, you know, we shouldn't, you know, we pride ourselves on baseball, you know, per your previous conversation. And I think whatever comes here should be affiliated with any major, you know, league team.
What if we didn't get a team? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like, okay, we don't get a team. We're not doing something baseball wise out of the Hank. What about taking Hank Aaron's home, childhood home, and with the statuary from so many Hall of Famers here, and doing something maybe downtown, something where, because I'm thinking if there are people, you know, we've had issues with getting the people from the cruise ship to go do things. They may not understand Golf Quest, but heck, they're going to understand baseball. You know, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they understand that, but still, you know, that's more money that the taxpayers would have to pay.
Yeah, unless they could put it on some property they already have, because the city already owns the home. You know, we'd have the cost of moving it, but if they could find some property.
The home is fine, but the stadium, you have stadium, you have a stadium.
Oh, well, that's for the stadium.
You also have parking.
Yeah, hey, we don't get a team. Do we take Hank's home away from the stadium there and put it downtown?
Of course. Sure we should.
Yeah, that's right.
It's another tourist attraction for Mobile.
Yeah, I think there's just my sense, and I'm not the world's biggest baseball fan, but, you know, while we've had trouble getting people to certain things in our city, I think people driving down I-10 that are baseball fans are going to say, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, we'll stop there. So,
well, I mean, with the draft occurred, baseball draft, I think it should be affiliated with some. The stadium's here, but, I mean, maybe the stadium needs renovations. Maybe the stadium needs some type of way to attract, or once a month give a car away or something. You need something to promote people that are interested in coming to baseball. All the robbery, the Pensacola.
Yep. I got to jump now. Got the news right up against us. Thank you, Mr. Happy. Good talking to you, and we'll be right back.